Morning, everyone. It's a good day. I could go home right now and feel pretty blessed. I am thankful. Pastor Tim, thank you for the invite. Yesterday was a full day, but what a great day it was. And I noticed that the drummer that's usually here has an excuse for maybe being gone on his way to honeymoon. But anyhow, we're blessed to be here. My wife, Debbie, I told somebody the other day, 2 years, 3 months, and she said, four. I said, but who's counting? And so we count, and what a great life it is to serve God. So good to see these seats with people in them. And some of you probably have no clue who I am. And that's probably a good thing because you're the ones I'll tell my jokes to. If I can find them, otherwise, not so much. How many know that I'm known for telling dumb jokes? Well, I'm still looking. I get paid by the minute. Well, I can remember this one. One morning, a mom of a 5-year-old Johnny opened up a window, and she heard Johnny out playing church, and he had a cat sitting on the ground preaching to it. She thought, that's pretty cool. So she went on about her business, and a few minutes later, she heard that cat meowing, squealing, scratching, hissing, and she went over and saw Johnny trying to baptize that cat in a tub. She said, Johnny, what are you doing? He says, well, I'm baptizing the cat. And she says, well, he doesn't like water. He said, he should have known that before he joined my church. There's a lot of things in life that are important. And the older I get, the more I know how important church is. We were talking just briefly before we came this morning. And some of you may know who Mark Hankins is. He's been around ministering for quite a while. Ministered here years ago, back when we had our school. And he had a dad whose name was it B.B. Hankins that made that statement we were talking about? And his dad named B.B. Hankins, and he said this about church attendance, that every time you choose not to go to church, you're voting to close the doors. And this is something that I believe really is true, and so it takes a committed effort. There's a lot of things you can be committed to, but there's nothing probably that will help you more than just being part of a local body, being part of a local family, and being faithful to it. And so I am thrilled to be here, and I have maybe 6 pages of notes. Pastor Tim told me right before he went down, 20 minutes. So we're counting right now. How many of you here will give me 20 minutes? 20, 40, 60, 80? We're about there. I really believe that the Lord has a word for you this morning. I didn't really find out I was going to be doing this until last night about 9 o'clock. But I do feel like I have something on my heart for you. And I believe it'll help us. I believe it will help us grow closer to God. If there's anything that anybody needs in life, it's a closer walk with God. I don't care what level we're at. You never get to the place where you end up. God is always continually going to grow you, me, whoever you know in the kingdom of God. He is going to grow us up. And he is a good teacher. Amen. How many of you know God loves you? He cares about you. He loves you so much, he sent his only begotten son to die for us. And that salvation that comes through that blood, that shed blood of Jesus Christ. Would you bring me my water? Thank you. But anyhow, that blood is running deep, and it runs deeper all the time. Best thing you can do is love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and just don't quit. We sung a song that had those words in it. We're not going to quit. And sometimes it's easy in this world to quit, but we're not quitters. The body of Christ is not quitters. We're going to go full steam ahead. I'm going to start with a scripture in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Says, "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good. And this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Now, I'm going to give you some just points real quickly, I believe. And then I want to get to one particular aspect of this that I think is what the Lord wants to deal with us about. But I want to give you six ways to maybe respond to current lies in today's culture. And they're pretty simple, and I believe that they are absolutely helpful when you begin to talk to people about what's going on in our culture today. Number one, this is a way you respond to current lies in today's culture. God's word is truth and the standard of all that is right and wrong. There's nothing apart from God's word. It is final authority. If you establish your walk with that one scripture, you can talk to people and say, "Well, I know what you're saying, but here's what God says." And the scripture that many of you know, John 17:17, says, "Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth." And then secondly, God designed us male and female. Period. Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them male and female. He created them." Male and female. It even says in the Word of God that God created animals, male and female. I won't go into it. They speak for themselves. Number three, God designed each person with beauty and purpose, being fearfully and wonderfully made. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." When somebody asks you who created you, you say, "God created me. I'm a creation of God." And then fourthly, God designed sex within the confines of marriage between a man and a woman. God blessed them. God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." We are here to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. And then in Hebrews 13:4, it says this, "Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous." There are people that just want to stick their finger in the eye of God and say, "We don't believe what you say." But this makes things very simple, and we can walk that way. Fifthly, God designed all races with equal value and worth. All races with equal value and worth. So Peter opened his mouth. This is out of Acts 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." That's good news. Amen. And then sixthly, God loves all, died for all in order to save all who would call on the name of the Lord. And that particular passage of Scripture, of course, is out of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Then it goes on to say, "For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call upon him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. So that being said, with those simple things are just answers to today's culture. We get a lot of questions and we get a lot of hyperbole, but the fact remains is God is our final authority. His word is our final authority. And then we decide, what can we do to enhance that message to go out into all the world? How can we live? In 2 Peter 3, it talks about us leading a holy life. Everybody say holy life. And beginning in verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all of these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you be in the lives of holiness and godliness? I think we'll just stop right there. How do we live this life, knowing that God's judgment's coming? And it's sandwiched between that is an admonishment for you and I to live godly and holy lives. And sometimes holiness takes on a whole brand new terminology for people, because most people think holiness has to do only with outward acts. But actually, holiness begins in the inner man and will translate into our acts and our purposes in life. One other thing we can do, we can have a healthy home. Everybody say a healthy home. You can look that scripture up in Deuteronomy 6. It just talks about teaching your children the Word of God. Coming and going, teach them the Word of God. The Word of God is what's going to sustain them in life. There's nothing that you're doing apart from the Word of God that has the strength, has the power, and has the anointing to see to it that you make it in life. In this life, now we all know earth is not our home. We're just passing through. We're going on to heaven. But while we're here, we live and develop healthy homes. How many know even in the body of Christ, we need healthy homes? We need people who will stand strong. That then comes in, what can we do? In 2 Timothy 1:2, we take a strong stance. Everybody say strong stance. We live for God. We walk with God. We talk with God. And we minister life to him, and he ministers back to us. As we minister to him, he ministers. We open up. Bible says God's looking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? So make a stand. Be strong in your stand. Be convicted in your stand. Don't be willing to just say, well, you know, I know, I understand your point. Embracing someone's sin never helps them. Never will it help them. Matter of fact, it will hurt them. It's getting really quiet in this Pentecostal church. And then, what else can we do? We can develop a tender heart, and that comes out of Jude 22, verses 22 and 23, one chapter in the book of Jude. Develop a tender heart. Not always easy, because sometimes we find ourselves in the position of having to bait the truth. And I don't believe that we have to debate in an argumentative way, but we can just say, well, here's what the Word of God says, and I'm going to go with that. And I'm going to develop a tender heart. I'm going to love you in spite of. I remember talking to a friend I grew up in high school with, and he made a decision to live a certain way. And I asked him one day, or he asked me one day, he said, would I be able to go to your church? And I said, well, sure. He said, so I would be welcome in your church? And I said, yeah, you would be welcome in our church. He said, are you serious? And I said, well, I'm very serious. Then he said, you understand that the way I am is the way I was born. And then I said, Well, I know that we're all born with a propensity to sin. When we come into this world, some of us just choose different things. You've chosen a wrong thing. And he looked at me, he says, so you don't think I was born this way? No, in the beginning, God created male and female. That's what the Word of God says. It kind of ends the argument. So he gets a little bit angry, and I said, listen, you could come be welcome at our church. I'd hang out with you. I've had friends who are caught up in certain lifestyles. And the fact remains is, you try to be a friend as much as you can, but when they start forcing their lifestyle on you, when they start doing that, then you just have to go back. Here's what the Word of God says. And so I asked him a couple of questions, and things got a little bit heated up, and I didn't intend for them to. But one of the things that happened was that he was determined that his convictions were enough to make him right. You can be perfectly wrong with strong convictions. Amen? Because the Word of God is the truth. What does the Word of God say about that? And I don't think anybody... Thank God, God saves sinners. Matter of fact, the Bible said God saved us while we were yet sinners. And when it makes that word determination, sinners, it's talking about people who have not accepted Jesus Christ. If you have never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible classifies you as lost or as a sinner. But good news is that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life come into their life. So we begin to live this way because this is the way to live. We live out of our salvation. The Bible says we begin to work out of our salvation. With fear and trembling, we work toward our salvation, the things that come with that. We begin to change our lives. We begin to live what the Bible might say is a holy life. And when we begin to live a holy life, that's why sometimes when I was first born again and I'd run into friends that I had grown up with in a little community called Lakin, Kansas. And when those guys would see me after I had made the transition from rank sinner to now somebody who loves God, somebody that says, thank you, Jesus, at the end of the prayer, they would say things like, you're born again? I said, yeah. He said, what does that mean? Well, that means I met Jesus. And they would say something usually laced with some type of swear words like the blanky blank you have. And I said, no, actually I have. Not all of them said that, but I've heard then some of them say, you know, you're different. And that's because I met the Savior. We sometimes don't think that his empowerment to change us is all that big a deal, but it is. You can pass from darkness to light in an instant, but you still are thinking the same way. That's why the Bible says your spirit man is instantly transformed from spiritual death to spiritual life, but then you spend the rest of your life renewing your mind to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We begin to live a holy life. You say, well, Pastor West, I would love to be a Christian, but that means I'm not going to have to drink. I'm not going to be able to smoke. I'm not going to be able to cuss. Not going to be able to dance or chew and go with girls that do. And I finally get to the place where I just say, look, you can do any of that you want to do. Because I know in the back of my mind, if they make a connection with God, that there are going to be some things that they drug into the body of Christ that they no longer want to do. But it's only the empowerment of God in your life, the connection that you have with God, that begins to transform not only just your inner man, but it begins to transform your outer actions, your outer thoughts. You begin to change by God's empowerment. Most people think that holiness is just, boy, I've been sinning, that thing is a problem in my life, and as soon as I get out of that, I can live for God. And I'm going to tell you, you don't have enough empowerment to do that on your own. You say, well, how do you know that, Wes? Because God knew we needed a Savior. If we could do it on our own, he would not have sent Jesus. We can't. We need a Savior. You say, well, Pastor Wes, I am a believer. But let me ask you this. If people were watching you all day long, listening to you all day long, what would your testimony be? Like they were just your shadow and you didn't know they were there, and they watched you all day long. Would there be enough evidence to convict you of Christianity? It's getting silent in this church. I told Pastor Debbie last night, I said, the reason some pastors go to wedding receptions, they just find out which people in their congregation need prayed for. Moving right along. I think and I believe that God's called us to a higher purpose in life. And he's not called us to a legalistic approach to walking in things of God. That suffocates a walk. He's called us into grace. I understand that. But at the same time, we find it so hard to say, well, if I'm saved and I'm still having problems, then that must mean I'm not saved. No, that just means you haven't been empowered. You haven't made enough of a connection with God, because that connection with God can grow. It can become stronger. And if you've I've seen people delivered of addictions in just a heartbeat, and then I've seen people delivered of addictions over a period of time. The closer they got to God, the freer they got. And it happens that way for every one of us. The closer you get to God, the less baggage you have to carry around with you. And I call sinful baggage, if you will. How many of you know that Christians can make stupid choices? Well, three of you are truthful. The rest of you just lied to me. We can make wrong choices, but the fact is, we can begin to live a life that really does exemplify the nature of God. We can live a life that honors God, and people see that in our lifestyle. It doesn't mean that we're perfect. Holiness does not mean we're perfect. It means we're striving to be like Him who is. It means we're walking that way. It means we're talking that way. And we are living that life in a way to honor God. God wants every one of us to be a proper witness. He wants us to live, just like I read in Micah 6, verse 8. O people, the Lord has told you what is good and what He requires of you to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. To do right. To walk humbly with your God. To live a holy life. And I want to kind of center in on that holy life. We could do a message on each one of these as far as I'm concerned. I could. And the fact is, we want to really understand that God is on our side. That God wants us to be like Him. He wants us to live like Him. Those of you that have children, there are things that you do that when people see you and your child doing something together, they will say, well, he's sure a chip off the old block. Or she looks just and acts just like her mom. Or she looks and just, he looks and acts just like his dad. I remember years ago, I was sharing this story the other day. I believe I was here with my sister and brother-in-law. But I was playing golf here in Hayes, and I was playing with a man that back then really liked to have a drink about every hole. But it was, fun to be around. He just kind of had to plug your ears because he knew how to cuss. One time I got up to tee off and we were playing a scramble on men's night. I got up to tee off and he just said, Pastor, before you tee off, I just want you to know there's going to be a lot of blanky blank cussing, swearing going on. So I was getting ready to tee off, and of course, nothing rattles my teeing off because it goes anywhere it wants to. So I stopped and I said to him, I looked at him, I said, well, I'll tell you what, the more you cuss, the more I'm going to preach. And the other two guys go, oh. You know, he didn't say all that much. I even asked him one time, we were riding together. It seemed like the guys that put the foursomes together love putting us together. So he looked at me one time, and just first hole that we teed off on, we were driving down to our balls, and he said, I just want you to know that charismatics scare the blanky blank out of me. And I looked at him and said, well, some of them scare me as well. But I also then said, as we drove along, I said, I want you, because I understand, you're pretty tough guy, aren't you? He said, I can handle myself. I said, well, tonight, when you lay down in your bed and it's just you all by yourself, I want you to look up into the emptiness of your room and say, God, if you're real, reveal yourself to me. It takes a courageous guy to do that. I didn't hear another word out of him for several holes. But I digress. I want to go back to that same man that I just told you about. We were playing golf one day, and I got up and teed off, and it was a tee box. I forget what hole it was, but in the tee box, you're kind of surrounded by trees. And I teed off, and I hit three of the four trees. It's just like a pinball machine. And then it landed right up in front of me a little bit. So, and my son goes, geez, Dad. He was not a good cheerleader. I remember one time I teed off and I had a hook that went over way, 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 way over, hit a rooftop and just boom. And Seth said, get in the cart, we're going to the clubhouse. A real encouragement. But anyhow, we're out with this one, and this guy's watching us. And I tee off and hit three of the four trees. And then Seth tees off, and you have to look through a periscope mirror deal to see where the ball goes. Well, Seth drove to the green. And I thought, well, he's got to get that talent from somewhere. And not me. And so this guy that loves to cuss saw that shot of Seth, and he goes, well, you can sure tell he's not a chip off the old block. That's true. True. But I'm telling you, there's things good that you can do. There's things that I've watched my kids do that imitates really the good things that I do. And I go, oh, thank you, Jesus. But then I see them do some stuff. And since their mom's in heaven, I'll say it's her fault. But they'll do something that they've watched me do, and I go, oh, Lord, help them. Get us free from that. But what we want to be, when you talk about holiness, we do want to be like God. We want to imitate him. Doesn't make us God, but it does make us part of his family. And when you begin to live that holy life, and to me, holy life is making a connection that helps you in your own life supersede the sin problem. Because sin likes to hang around. And so what we do is when we separate ourselves unto God, holiness has the word sanctification lots of times is used for the word holiness, but I think that it's more like being set apart to do God's will. It's not set apart from him, but set apart towards him. That you're going after him. In other words, we begin to live our life in a way that honors the Lord. We talk to him. We connect with him. And who we connect with, that's why you'll hear Jesus say things like in the New Testament, take heed what you hear. How many know that's important? How many of you know you can turn on a television or you can even get on your iPhone, smartphone? I don't know if the phones I have they call smart, but anyhow, there are people that watch stuff, listen to stuff on this that do nothing to edify them, nothing to strengthen their soul. And the Bible says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And I wanted to just, I got a few minutes left, but a very good example in the Bible of a man living a way that should have been totally victorious all his life, but it didn't happen, is a man by the name of Samson. Samson was called to be a Nazarite. He was called to avoid any dead stuff. He was called to avoid alcohol. He was called, God says, you'll not cut his hair. His hair never knew a razor until he got in a bad fix. He made some choices that were not good. And Samson did as much as he could to obey and keep all those outward signs. But if you're trying to keep them apart from God's help, you're not going to do anything but end up like he did with Delilah. And he got a haircut. But the reason is, I think this, and I think it probably will pan out, but I think the reason is that when Samson began to live his life, he knew those vows, Nazarite vows, were his, that he was to live by them. And that's why we see in the Bible in Ecclesiastes, it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and not keep it. And so Samson realized that he's a Nazarite. So alcohol's not going to go over his lips. His hair's not going to be cut. He's not going to touch any unclean thing. He's going to keep himself. But for some reason, he ended up in Delilah's lair. I believe it's probably because he did not keep connected on the inside with God. God to empower him to overcome. I used to think, as I'd read through there and see his skirmishes or challenges with Delilah, I would think, you need to get up and run. This woman is selling you down the tubes, man, and you're just sitting there taking it. You need to get up and run. You need to sometimes run from sin. Sometimes you need to run away from a friend who refuses to stay away from things. But he did this, and he ended up, you know, not in a good way. When you begin to think, I'm going to live this life the way I want to and not include God in it, then you're setting yourself up to get a haircut, an unwanted haircut. And that's the way we need to live. God wants our hearts healthy. God hates pride. The Bible says, and it's the man that thinks I can handle my own life, that's the kind of man that will fall, because you got caught up in pride, and pride goeth before the fall. We all know that. So that's why when you see sometimes people who at times were living godly lives and they were walking with God, and all of a sudden they're out of the way and they're living a lifestyle that absolutely does not exemplify a holiness at all. And it's not holiness that says I'm better than you are. It's holiness that says I'm trying to be like my Father. I'm trying to love him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength in every area of my life. Trying to live for him. What a great way to live. There's a vast difference between performing for acceptance and performing from acceptance. The Bible says in Ephesians that we're accepted in the Beloved by and through Jesus Christ. But if we're trying to perform to be accepted by God, we're going to fail a lot. But if we're performing out of his acceptance of us, we're going to succeed. It may not look like it will, but that's exactly what will happen. God wants us to win, and he wants us to continually have a heart connection with him. He wants us to sense his love. I'm connected to God. That's why I never get tired of going to church. I was telling Debbie the other day on my tombstone, one of the things that's going to be on my tombstone is go to church. And if that doesn't happen, I'm coming back. If Arnold can do it, I can do it. This is a funny story to me, but I'd gone out to visit Sandy's graveside and take some flowers out. I did that a couple of times a week right after she passed and went to heaven. And within that first week and a half, I went out there, and at the foot of the grave, it had collapsed in probably 2 foot. I mean, it was noticeably, if you walked into that hole, you would think you're in bad trouble. You'd fall into a... So I called the funeral home and I said, I don't know who you have handle that, but I said, before I said that, I said, I've been out to the graveside and it has collapsed at one end. It looks like Sandy's trying to get out. And there was a long pause on the phone, and pretty soon she just burst out laughing. I said, that's what I wanted you to do. I bet they've never had anybody say that to them. And so when I say stuff like that, my wife presently, she says, "You just blurt things out, don't you?" I said, "Oh yeah, I do. I've got an anointing for blurting." But we want life to be good. We don't want to be afraid of the cemetery because we know where our home is. This earth is not my home, but I am just passing through. And I want to be like God. I want people to accuse me. Well, you're trying. I had somebody, not a lot of people, but I had several people at one time tell me, said, "You think you're God?" I said, "No, I don't think that, but I do think I'm a lot like him." Makes religious people mad. I wake up and you got to understand where I'm coming from. Those of you that have been going to church here for a while and know, but sometimes I'll wake up and I'll look in the mirror and I'll say, "You're one fine fella. You're just living like the way God created you. You're created in his image. What an incredible man you are." You say, "You really do?" Well, the Bible says, "Call those things which be not as though they are." So you might as well do your best. God loves us. He wants us to live this life in a way that pleases him out in our community, not in our home. Sometimes the toughest place to do that's in the home, but you can do it. Holiness does include action, but it starts from your connection within your heart, your connection with God. When you got born again, that connection was there. Then we begin to develop and work out our salvation with fear and trembling before God. Amen? Amen. Well, God loves the holy people of Westview Church. He loves the holy people and leadership. God loves people. Loves Pastor Tim, Kristen. You guys are well taken care of. God is just as we sing about, he's a good God. You are good, good, oh Lord. Amen. Well, so Father, I pray for these people. I pray for their lives. I pray for their future. And I pray for the comfort of the Holy Spirit that here is here to lead and guide them into all truth. And Father God, that will not be a people that come behind in any good gift, but we will live and walk mightily in the things of God. That we'll walk in the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. We'll be strengthened in this day. This day is not one that's come to frighten us, because God says, in the midst of inharmonious circumstance, I will make you a cheerful person. I will walk you through those things as if they never even existed. I will set your feet upon higher ground, says the Lord. I will cause you to walk in a way that does bring me honor, that does bring me glory, and I will bless your home. I will breathe my breath of refreshing on your home, says the Lord. And so, Lord, we bless you today. I thank you, Lord, for the blessing of God that heals, anoints, and makes whole in every household. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And all that agree with that said, amen, amen. Pastor Tim.
Now I get the mic. Now, Pastor West sowed a good word to us today. We want to be a blessing to you today. We just want to sow into your lives, and we just want to be a blessing to him. So we're going to pass around the baskets, and if you're making a checkout, make it to Westview Church, and we'll send them away with a nice blessing. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for the word today. We just thank you for Pastor Wes and Pastor Debbie. We just thank you for their lives. We're just honored to have them as our guests today, and we just want to sow this seed into their lives and continue to be a blessing to them. Lord, we just honor you in all that we do. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.